The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades in the intellectual wilderness of South Lauderdale, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, here we are. I'm so sorry, everyone. I was distracted. I wasn't paying attention, and I didn't notice what time it was, and I missed, you know, it's a good thing we're live on tape still, live at 3 p.m., on tape delay at 5 on the Progressive Voices Network. We are eventually moving to, you know, live at 5, but that's, we're still waiting on TuneIn. So anyway, better late than never. We're starting a couple of minutes late. We'll just keep going a couple of minutes. Where to begin? Oh, my goodness. I need that breaking news sound effect. And I don't have one handy. So let me just start with breaking news. I used to have a breaking news. I'm not going to play this one.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
Well, they do. We don't. So here's the thing. I was going to start with the news about the House Intelligence Committee releasing its report on the impeachment inquiry this afternoon. It came out about an hour or so ago. But that's not all. No, I think I need to. Here it is. Here we go.
Another one bites the dust.
Ah, not only one.
Another one bites the dust.
Not two, but three. Three bites the dust. Oh, by the way, I need to just stop and interrupt myself for a moment because Sue Sorensen in the YouTube chat room just said, if any of you are doing any shopping on Amazon, use Nicole's Amazon portal. Help her out. We no longer have an Amazon portal. Here's my breaking news. Amazon killed my affiliates account because I wasn't doing it properly. Because I had a portal and just said, here, use this link to do your shopping, that disqualified me apparently. So I'm working on some other affiliate programs so you can, you know, support the program through your shopping, but we're not there yet. Right now, if you want to have any of your old films or videos digitized, there is a deal at NicoleSandler.com. I'm not even sure what it's under, maybe under shopping or something like that. But the Amazon portal, rest in peace. No longer there. Deals. It's under deals at NicoleSandler.com. It's NicoleSandler.com/deals. So if you have old home movies and videos that you want to digitize, we have a great deal for you, and I get a small commission on that, courtesy of some listeners. Anyway, I digress. The breaking news is, first, we learned that Admiral Joe Sestak had dropped out of the race. And I know you're thinking, who? We didn't even know he was in the race. Well, I did because somehow I got on his email list. So thankfully, I'll stop getting Admiral Joe Sestak's emails anymore. Then we heard that, Steve Bullock, governor of Montana, had dropped out. Sorry, Steve, we hardly knew you. And that's a good thing. And then just, you know, an hour or so ago, we learned that Kamala Harris had suspended her campaign. And when it first came out, it said that there was a video coming. Well, I didn't see a video, but she did post a message on Medium. And let me share with you what Kamala Harris wrote. The headline reads, "I am suspending my campaign today." And she wrote, 11 months ago at the launch of our campaign in Oakland, I told you all, quote, I am not perfect, but I will always speak with decency and moral clarity and treat all people with dignity and respect. I will lead with integrity. I will speak the truth. And she continues, and that's what I've tried to do every day of this campaign. So here's the truth today. I've taken stock and looked at this from every angle, and over the last few days, I've come to one of the hardest decisions of my life. My campaign for president simply doesn't have the financial resources we need to continue. I'm not a billionaire, she writes. I can't fund my own campaign. And as the campaign has gone on, it's become harder and harder to raise money, to raise the money we need to compete. In good faith, she writes, I can't tell you, my supporters and volunteers, that I have a path forward if I don't believe I do. So to you, my supporters, it is with deep regret, but also with deep gratitude that I am suspending my campaign today. But I want to be clear with you. I am still very much in this fight, and I will keep fighting every day for what this campaign has been about. Justice for the people, all the people. Our campaign has been about fighting for people whose voices that have not been heard or too often ignored. How can she release this with a typo? Really? Our campaign has been about fighting for people whose voices that have not been heard or too often ignored? That's why her campaign ended. You need a good proofreader. Just saying. Anyway, it continues. We will keep up that fight. Let's remember, we were the first to put injustice of inadequate teacher pay on the national agenda. We will keep up that fight. We were the first to demand justice for our children, declaring we would take bold executive actions to stop gun violence. Two school shootings in Wisconsin already this week, by the way. But nobody was killed, so it's not, you know, lead news. And I didn't start the show with, if it were up to me. I guess because no one was killed, we are numb. Anyway, back to Kamala Harris. He continues, we were the first to demand justice for women with a plan to block unconstitutional state abortion laws. We'll keep up that fight. And our campaign uniquely spoke to the experiences of Black women and people of color and their importance to the success and future of this party. Our campaign demanded no one should be taken for granted by any political party. We will keep up that fight because no one should be made to fight alone. And yeah, she doesn't really say anything else. It finishes up with, and I want to be clear, although I am no longer running for president, I will do everything in my power to defeat Donald Trump and fight for the future of our country and the best of who we are. I know you will too, so let's do that together. Let's keep fighting, she writes, for the America we believe in, an America free of injustice, an America that we know can be unburdened by what has been. Thank you, Kamala. Okay, well. Okay. So there's that. Now, she, I believe, is running for attorney general. We'll see. So that happened. There's other news we'll get to in a second. But, you know, actually, before all this breaking news happened, and there's more, I did want to start the show today. Well, we've got some funny coming up too. But I did want to start by mentioning that today is Giving Tuesday. You know, it starts with Black Friday, the ultimate in commercialism, right? Small Business Saturday, which is good. Hopefully you paid a visit to some local merchants. Cyber Monday. So this is all it, but Cyber Monday comes into play here, and Giving Tuesday. So this is supposed to be a day when you give back. It's not about commercialism or you know, crass consumerism or whatever, but giving back, right? So last month, almost to the day, tomorrow will be a month since my birthday. And what I did last month is, I'm still on Facebook. Don't ask why. It just... I am. I know I shouldn't be, but I am. Anyway, they have these fundraisers on Facebook and they always pester you. Do you want to do a fundraiser for your birthday? And I thought, well, yeah, but sorry, I'm going to be selfish here. I'm not going to do a fundraiser for another charity because my livelihood is based on this program. My salary, such as it is paid for by donations from listeners. So I thought, all right, Facebook is prompting me to do a fundraiser, I'll do a fundraiser for my show. And I did. And I got to tell you, people were, it always surprises me because I don't know. It just surprises me when people are so generous. And they gave $1,900 in donations for my birthday, just on this little Facebook fundraiser that I didn't even mention here on the show, right? And I wanted to put it to good use. Well, those of you who've been listening for a long time should remember it was about 5 years ago when I bit the bullet and I purchased a new computer. And I was so excited about this computer because I had it custom built. It was supposed to have, blazing fast, lots of storage, be perfect for my production needs in doing this program. Well, I was cocky when I got it, and I was rushing to get it all set up, and I didn't activate the virus protection on the computer before I started downloading the programs that I needed, and I hit the wrong button. And all of a sudden, these windows started popping up on my screen, like one after another, after another, after another. And it's like, oh my God, ah, I got hit by like the mother load of all viruses. And I unplugged it. I turned it off. They tell you on the screen, in these viruses, call this number, we'll fix it. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to be that stupid. I was stupid, but I'm not going to be so stupid as to call the people who've hijacked my computer to have them fix it. So I called Microsoft. I paid whatever the ransom fee is to Microsoft to have them walk through the process of de-virusing my computer. Bottom line, though, is that the computer was never right after that. It's been buggy. It's been one bug after another after another. And I paid a lot of money for this computer. I sent it back to the guy who built it to have him wipe it clean. And it's still the viruses that infected that computer the day I got it still affected. It's the reason why I don't pull in video of guests who are on Skype, because my computer glitches. It can't handle it. It sometimes just like it freezes up on me in the middle of the show. Anyway, long story short, the Facebook fundraiser brought in, I used yesterday, yes, on Cyber Monday, and I ordered a new computer. Yay! So the new computer should be here Friday. I will spend the weekend in between my time at the shelter volunteering with the dogs, rebuilding the studio with the new computer. Believe me, the first thing I'll do is activate the virus protection. And I will be super, super careful when I'm downloading new programs. No, it's not a Mac. The reason I don't like Macs, and I don't use a Mac, mostly because the audio editing software that I use does not, is not compatible with Mac. So anyway, that's my story. So for Giving Tuesday, please feel free to donate. Again, if you go to NicoleSandler.com, you click on the donate button, you'll find the various different ways you can support the program. But just so you know, the birthday fundraiser I did on Facebook, thank you guys. Those who donated, has just bought a new computer for the show. So hopefully as of next week, things will start to be less glitchy. Hopefully there'll be fewer gremlins in our machines. So anyway, so that's going on. So thank you. And please give. Do I use a particular virus program? No, I've gone back and forth. I've used so many. Right now I'm actually just using Norton. Anyway. I'm open to suggestions. Whatever virus program you suggest, Norton's been okay, but I had nothing on it when I did that. Okay, so back to this. So there's more news. And I'll tell you, because so much has changed since I recorded What's News this morning, we'll do it live, damn it. Bill O'Reilly, what do you think? Should we do it live? I can't even find. Oh, here he is. All right, we'll do it live. Oh. How about this?
We'll do it live. Fucking thing. We'll do it live. Fuck.
Okay.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
All right. So I mentioned the House Intelligence Committee released its report on the impeachment inquiry this afternoon. They found that Donald Trump had, quote, compromised national security to advance his personal political interests in his dealings with Ukraine. ESET. All right. I'm going to write down ESET. Sorry. This is called multitasking. All right. Let's see. The committee also found that Trump, quote, engaged in an unprecedented campaign of obstruction of the impeachment inquiry. So the panel that the House Intelligence Committee will vote later today, probably sometime around 6 o'clock, on forwarding the report to the House Judiciary Committee, which will then consider articles of impeachment against Trump. That's pretty much just a formality because the Judiciary Committee got the report last night, and you better believe they're all, well, at least the Democrats are anyway, ingesting it. They're reading it. I think it's somewhere around 300 pages. So the report said in its findings, quote, here's like a summary, to compel the Ukrainian president to do his political bidding, President Trump conditioned two official acts on the public announcement of the investigation, a coveted White House visit and critical U.S. military assistance Ukraine needed to fight its Russian adversary. So tomorrow begins the next phase in the impeachment inquiry. It's still an impeachment inquiry. And what's going to happen tomorrow, beginning at 10 Eastern, the first hearing in the Judiciary Committee, it'll be an academic exercise with law professors explaining the legal points of impeachment and high crimes and misdemeanors. So the witnesses, there's not going to be any blockbuster testimony tomorrow. The witnesses are Noah Feldman of Harvard Law, Pamela Carlin of Stanford, Michael Gerhart of UNC, and the Republicans' choice, Jonathan Turley of George Washington University. Jonathan Turley, I think, appears on Fox a lot. I was introduced to him because Keith Olbermann used to have him on Countdown all the time when he was still on MSNBC. So that's going on. All right, so that begins tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm not sure. They start at 10. I can't imagine it'll still be going on at 3:30. But we'll cover it as we've been covering all of the hearings. And David Bender, political analyst, will join us as well. Okay, so I mentioned, all right, so reports. So we had the House Intelligence Committee report today. The Republicans last night released their minority report, basically a prebuttal saying there's nothing to see here. Move right along. Yeah. Over on CNN, Dana Bash and Aaron Burnett, or Dana Bash, sorry, it's not Dana, it's Dana. Dana Bash and Aaron Burnett were just kind of incredulous about this document that the Republicans produced.
What exactly did you hope Zelensky would do about the Biden passenger phone call? Exactly.
Well, I would think that if they were honest about it, they'd start a major investigation into the Bidens. It's a very simple answer. They should investigate the Bidens.
So here's
Aaron
Burnett.
The president said it himself, Dana. And yet Nunes and Jordan have come out with a report saying the facts aren't the facts.
Black is white, up is down.
Uh-huh. I mean, opposite world.
It's where we are, unfortunately. And it just doesn't match with the reality that's in front of our face that the president himself said. So, you know, they took it, this report, maybe not just two steps too far, 10 steps too
you
far.
Think?
Because they can, because they believe that they can get away with it with the people that they care about, the Republican base. And history shows, the current state of affairs shows that they're not wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's the opposite world nature of it all. So we had the Republican prebuttal, the Democrats, the Intelligence Committee report released today. Now, there's another report expected in the next week or so. This one from the Department of Justice Inspector General's office regarding the much touted investigation into the...
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges.
Oh, the oranges.
The oranges.
The investigation.
The beginnings of that investigation.
The oranges.
About the...
The what?
Mueller report.
Uh-huh.
The Mueller report, I wish, covered the oranges.
The oranges.
How it
All right,
started.
Shut up, you moron. The much-touted investigation into the origins, excuse me, of the Russia investigation. Well, in his own sort of prebuttal, Attorney General Bill Barr has said that he disagrees with the key findings in this upcoming report from his Justice Department. He's saying he doesn't agree with the report his Justice Department is about to issue that says that finds that the FBI had enough information in July of 2016 to justify launching an investigation into Papadopoulos and other members of the Trump campaign. Here's, sorry to do this to you, but Mika Brzezinski telling this story this morning.
Attorney General William Barr has reportedly told Associates he disagrees with the Justice Department's Inspector General on one of the key findings in his anticipated report. According to the Washington Post, Barr has not been convinced of DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz's conclusion that the FBI had appropriate grounds to launch the investigation into the Trump campaign in 2016, according to people familiar with the matter. The Inspector General report is currently being finalized and will be released next week.
All right, next week.
The Attorney General has faced criticism in the past for publicly defending the president and for giving off the appearance of not being completely impartial. It is unclear how Barr will react publicly, but it is a standard practice for every Inspector General report to include a written response from the department. Former Justice Department spokesman Matt Miller tweeted about the report, quote, "Unreal. It is not uncommon for an AG to disagree with an IG finding because it is too tough on the DOJ. I have never heard of an IG confirming the department did things correctly and an AG disputing it. Just shocking partisan behavior."
Shocking partisan behavior. That's, you know, that could be the asterisk next to this Trump administration. Anyway, in other news, Trump is in London for a NATO meeting. Early this morning, he sat alongside NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg for a 53-minute session where he rambled incoherently to the assembled press. Don't worry, I'm not going to assault your ears. I'm not going to play any audio. But here's one example. On impeachment, Trump said, "It's a hoax. The impeachment thing is a hoax. It's turned out to be a hoax. It's done for purely political gain. They're going to see whether or not they can do something in 2020 because otherwise they're going to lose. They're losers, don't you know? They're losers." Sorry, I get carried away sometimes. Anyway, this is such typical Trump speak. He's got the intelligence and reasoning skills of a 10-year-old. Just take, for example, the word hoax. If you look it up in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, hoax is defined as an act intended to trick or dupe, or something accepted or established by fraud or fabrication. Listen carefully, Don the Con. Impeachment is not a hoax at all. It's a legitimate process being debated and voted on by the House of Representatives as outlined in the U.S. Constitution. What is a hoax is everything having to do with Donald Trump. Every fucking word out of his mouth is a fraud, is a lie. He wouldn't know the truth if it came up and bit him on the ass. All right, there's other news, but you know what? We'll wait till we get Laffy on the line to get to it. You know what? Let's get Laffy on the line now, shall we? Because I've been rambling on long enough, and there's so much to talk about. So, without any further ado,
and now it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes. So every Tuesday we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh. You find her on Twitter with an inordinate amount of followers. She's GOTTALAFF on the Twitter machines. And we kind of mine her Twitter feed for the latest news and information. My God, Twitter is how I found out Kamala Harris was dropping out before pretty much anybody else. So anyway, first thing we got to do is get Laffy on the line, push this button and that button, and hello.
Yes, you've reached the Trump family Christmas hotline.
Oh, boy. Did you see the decorations at the White House yet? At least they're not blood red, but still. Ugh, okay.
They're
sorry.
Sparkly.
I digress. Yes.
Yep. Press one if you think Ivanka said, "Ew, Daddy. Daddy, I keep telling you, I don't want my stocking stuffed that way."
Ew.
Sorry.
Yeah.
us too if you think Eric and Donnie Jr. said, "Dad, we keep telling you, keep Rudy out of our room."
Yes, please.
Press 3 if you think Baron and Tiffany said, "Hey, Dad, remember us?"
Oh, yeah, they exist. What the funniest thing was seeing that, what's his name? Baron following Baron. The parents down the steps of the plane as they returned from Mar-a-Lago Thanksgiving. It's like, oh my God, he exists. They went with him. All right.
But he wasn't in the family picture that they took, recently.
I didn't even know they took a family picture. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a family picture. I don't think it was the family picture, but it was a family picture. And he wasn't there. Baron wasn't there. Poor Baron. I have a whole bunch of tweets. You want to get started on them?
Okay. We can start with the tweets. All right. First, we got to let loose the birdies.
The birdies.
Here they come.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, so what's happening?
Well, I'm going to start out with a funny one. I'm going to get into the today's news ones, but I had so many that I'm going to start out with a goofy one.
Okay.
It's not that goofy, actually, but this is from CBS News. TJ Maxx,
yeah.
Marshalls, yeah. And Home Goods,
yeah.
They sold potentially dangerous products after recalls, including Ivanka Trump branded scarves that did not meet federal flammability standards.
Oh my God. Oh my
Daddy,
God.
Daddy, why is that catching on fire? Why are those children on fire at my plant? Daddy, the slaves are on fire.
Oh God.
The child's slave labor is on fire. Daddy?
Yes.
Can you pay for the rebuilding of my slave labor facility, Daddy?
If you sit on my lap, if you sit on my lap, if you weren't Daddy, my daughter, I'd date you. Ew.
Later, Daddy, later. Shh, we're on the air, Daddy.
Okay.
Ew!
Ew!
Ew! Oh, God. Ah! Okay, empty wheel. Yay, Marcy. Okay, she goes, here's my summary of the Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes pre-buttle discussion of facts presented by Republicans and nonpartisans.
Okay.
And then she has this huge... It's a screen grab. It's like legal paper where it's numbered. All the sentences are numbered.
Yeah.
All they say is Democrat, 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 Democrat. About 10,000 times, Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. That is her summary of the pre-buttle.
Okay. All right.
Let's see if she said anything else. No, she just said the Republican pre-buttle spins Republican and nonpartisan facts as a Democratic plot. And then she goes on and makes up this Democrat thing.
Uh-huh.
You have to see it, but it's hysterical. But that's our Marcy. Okay, so the report came out. I did a little thread on some of the highlights.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you may have read one of them, but it starts at the impeachment inquiry into Donald J. Trump. Uncovered a months-long effort by Trump to use the powers of his office to solicit foreign interference on his behalf in the 2020 election.
Right.
I kind of skipped through things. Trump's scheme subverted U.S. foreign policy toward Ukraine and undermined our national security in favor of two politically motivated investigations that would help his presidential reelection campaign. One, and this is like the two main, I guess, what you might presume would be articles.
Mm-hmm.
One, the president's misconduct. The president conditioned a White House meeting and military aid to Ukraine on a public announcement of investigations beneficial to his reelection campaign. And two, the president's obstruction of the House of Representatives impeachment query. The president obstructed the impeachment inquiry by instructing witnesses and agencies to ignore subpoenas for documents and testimony. Then Andrew Prokop, a legal guy, he said, new Schiff report seems to endorse the theory that there was no September 9th call between Trump and Sondland.
Right.
Says,
you know,
yep,
can we just stop on that for a second? This whole thing. So when Trump, I guess, in that 5 hours between the time when Sondland got the text from, I want to say, oh, God, what was his name? The first guy who testified. Bill Taylor, I think it
was.
Oh,
yeah, Bill Taylor,
right?
The one with the deep voice.
Right,
yeah.
The one who was saying, if this is the case, I quit. And then Sondland texted him back on WhatsApp and said, oh, you know, there was Donald Trump wanted no quid pro quo. Remember, there was that five-hour gap when allegedly that's when they supposedly spoke. But there's no record of a phone call between them. Somehow Trump gets word to Sondland, you better cover my ass here. And it looks like Sondland did that. Sondland, although he gave some really damning testimony, I think he's perjured himself multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
In his
three
chances.
Yep. And Prokop goes on to say, says the call, quote, would have occurred in the middle of the night at odds with evidence not backed up by any records. So he threw that in there. Then it goes on. This is from the report now. In his farewell address, George Washington warned of moment of, I'm reading my shorthand, I'm sorry, okay, when, quote, cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. So he threw that quote in there. Then they go on to say, the president engaged in this course of conduct for the benefit of his own presidential reelection, to harm the election prospects of a political rival, and to influence our nation's upcoming presidential election to his advantage. Then in doing so, the president, I skipped a lot, so these are just sort of excerpts I'm just throwing out. In doing so, the president placed his own personal and political interests above the national interests of the United States, sought to undermine the integrity of the U.S. presidential election process, and endangered U.S. national security. That's a big thing, the national security thing that goes throughout the whole report. But the damage to our system of checks and balances and to the balance of power within our three branches of government will be long-lasting and potentially irrevocable if the president's ability to stonewall Congress goes unchecked. Any future president will feel empowered to resist an investigation into their own wrongdoing, malfeasance, or corruption, and the result will be a nation at far greater risk of all three. Those watching the impeachment hearings might have been struck by how little discrepancy there was between the witnesses called by the majority and minority. Indeed, most of the facts presented in the pages that follow are uncontested. But perhaps even more corrosive to our democratic system of governance, the president and his allies are making a comprehensive attack on the very idea of fact and truth. How can a democracy survive without acceptance of a common set of experiences? Trump is the first president in the history of the United States to seek to completely obstruct an impeachment inquiry undertaken by the House of Representatives under Article 1 of the Constitution, which vests the House with the sole power of impeachment. If left unanswered, Trump's ongoing effort to thwart Congress's impeachment power risks doing grave harm to the institution of Congress, the balance of power between branches of government, and the constitutional order that the president and every member of Congress have sworn to protect and defend. I have only two more.
Okay.
No other president in history has issued an order categorically directing the entire executive branch not to testify before Congress, including in the context of an impeachment inquiry. Trump issued such an order. And finally, I added, Trump publicly attacked and intimidated witnesses who came forward to comply with duly authorized subpoenas and testify about his misconduct, raising grave concerns about potential violations of criminal laws intended to protect witnesses appearing before congressional proceedings. So that's sort of an overview that I skimmed 300 pages real quickly.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And so Adam Schiff, right around the time I came on the air, I stepped up to the lectern and did a presser. And I don't know if you saw, but on Twitter, Janice Kay took notes on what he was saying, briefing the press on the impeachment report. And apparently he had a poster next to him that started with the quote, I would like you to do us a favor, though. And that's where it starts.
Yeah, I asked, I put out a request on Twitter. Can somebody please recap what he's saying? And she tweeted
did.
Me with
it. She gave a lengthy thread on what he was saying. So
here's an interesting thing. I took a screen grab of the table of contents, and what that table of contents does is it summarizes clearly what is happening. The first section was the president's misconduct. The president forced out the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine.
Yep.
The president put Giuliani and the three amigos in charge of Ukraine issues. The president froze military assistance to Ukraine.
Yep.
The president's meeting with the Ukrainian president was conditioned on an announcement of investigations.
Mm-hmm.
The president asked the Ukrainian president to interfere in the 2020 U.S. election by investigating the Bidens and the 2016 election interference. The president wanted Ukraine to announce the investigations publicly. The president's conditioning of military assistance and a White House meeting on announcement of investigations raised alarm. And the president's scheme was exposed. And then Section 2 on obstruction, constitutional authority for congressional oversight and impeachment. This is what he obstructed. The president's categorical refusal to comply. The president's refusal to produce any and all subpoenaed documents. Mm-hmm. The president's refusal to allow top aides to testify. The president's unsuccessful attempts to block key witnesses. And the president's intimidation of witnesses.
Yep.
So there you go. There's a big overview.
So it tells you right there. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I actually just posted the links in both the YouTube and the NicoleSandler.com chat room so people can follow. Yeah, I mean, if all you have time to do is read the table of contents, that tells you a lot about Section 1, the president's misconduct, Section 2, the president's obstruction of the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry. There's two articles of impeachment right there. Misconduct, obstruction.
Right. And then they go into immense detail. So Marcy Wheeler said one thing that she didn't like: the report pulls virtually all punches toward Barr, which is problematic.
Really?
That's what she said.
Huh. That's interesting.
Hallie Jackson tweeted, Schiff's report reads like the ramblings of a basement. Oh, I'm sorry. She's quoting the press secretary's response. I'm so sorry. I'm looking at the tweet and I'm going, what? The press secretary's response, Chairman Schiff's report reads like the ramblings of a basement blogger straining to prove something when there is evidence of nothing. And then Adam Serwer says, it's 300 pages, so she hasn't read it. Also, this disc was stale in 2010. And then he goes on to say, basement bloggers are all married with kids now. Sorry.
Oh, my God. That's funny. You had something about, let me see if I can find it. You said this is taking on a life of its own now, and it has to do with what?
I'm just going to read that.
Okay. Yes. Great minds and all that stuff.
Of course we are, because we always do that. Greg Miller, and I have a couple of tweets about this, but Greg Miller posted a screen grab of a call log.
Yes.
And
Devin Nunes' call log of all people.
Looks like Devin Nunes was on a lot of calls with future accused felon, and he's referring to Lev Parnas.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then Andrew Prokop is tweeting. Okay, first we'll read what he's tweeting over. It's Walter Schaub, the ethics guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no good reason for Rudy Giuliani to be talking to OMB and plenty of bad ones.
Uh-huh.
And then to go back to Prokop, Mulvaney is still technically the OMB director, so wonder if calls could be with him. So there's these call logs that show, it's like a whole new story that blew up right before my eyes as I was trying to read everything and before we got on the air, of this Rudy's talking to White House phone number. Rudy, OMB talks to Rudy. Rudy talks to White House phone number. Rudy talks to, this goes on and on.
Wow.
OMB talks to Rudy. Lev Parnas talks to Rudy. Rudy's talking to the White House phone number. On and on. And then, as we said earlier, Devin Nunes, Lev Parnas talks to, the three amigos and then some.
Yeah, there's something really fishy there. And by fishy, I mean something that stinks to high heavens. There, Devin Nunes, first of all, should have recused himself last year. The fact that he is so dug in the middle of all this, oh my God. So corrupt.
And he was the one that did the midnight ride to the White House, remember
that's
that?
That's right.
Uh-huh. And he recused them, but he didn't really.
Yep. Nope.
He pretended to recuse.
Yeah.
And so even if he said he would recuse, it wouldn't make any difference because he would still be doing things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
As he did here.
Yep. Yep.
Secrets coming out.
Uh-huh.
And so this was the, when I was watching MSNBC, I was watching Ari Melber sort of try to get the news out about the report. And he goes, there's something that is new in this report. A lot of it's just the stuff we've heard if you watch the hearings. But he said, these call logs, and he was sort of eye-widening as he was reading them. He was just discovering things on the spot, And then other legal experts were jumping in because, you know, he was just going, wait a minute, what's this? And then other people who had had a chance to read it were going, wait a minute, who's Rudy calling?
Oh,
who's,
my gosh.
Wait, hmm? So, yeah, that's that. Okay, so that's the only coverage I could do, I think, on this report. But now we get into Kamala Harris saying bye-bye, which was a pretty – I mean, I know she wasn't doing well, and
no.
I know she was firing staff and concentrating on Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I was surprised she dropped out before other people did.
So was I. I mean, the fact that somebody like – oh, Tulsi Gabbard's still in the race. Or, oh, God, what's his name? The senator, Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett is still in the race?
Yes. What's he doing? I mean, do
right.
we ever, I mean,
as surprised as I was to hear that Steve Bullock had dropped out because the surprise was he was in, you know, that's how I feel about some of the others. John Delaney hasn't
yes.
dropped out yet. Really?
What are you doing?
John Delaney? Seriously? So I thought he'd be gone before Kamala Harris, but, you
oh,
know.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
it is a loss because, let's face it, Kamala Harris, a black woman, was running for president. And that's
yes.
a big deal. And now, you know. Now she isn't.
Even if you don't agree with her, she was well spoken in terms mm-hmm. of her grasp of a lot of issues in terms of legally, senatorially. You know, she wasn't just somebody in it for the fun of it. You know,
but you know what? Look, she wanted to be Obama 2.0.
Yeah,
she did.
Yeah.
Look, I thought it was too soon for Obama to run for president. Frankly,
yeah.
I didn't support him in the 2008 primaries. I voted for John Edwards.
Me too.
So,
I didn't because by the time
he
California
had dropped out already,
around,
right?
Yeah, so I voted for Obama.
Right, but here in Florida, I did, and I frankly, 2 years in the Senate didn't give him enough background, enough experience.
Oh, I totally
agree. To
I'm
become
just saying
president.
Her compared to
some of
these
other people.
Dropped yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because like you said, she had more going for her than these white guys, you know,
yep.
these same old yep. white guy. Ugh. Anyway, but Jennifer Bendry was commenting and she had three tweets. She said, the good news for Democrats is that Harris will be back in action in the Senate just in time for Trump's impeachment trial.
Yep.
She'll also be back in action in the Senate Judiciary Committee, where she is easily the sharpest and most intimidating uh-huh. questioner of any of them on the panel. And that's what I was getting at.
That's true. But then, I don't recall. I don't remember what role the senators have in an impeachment trial in the Senate, if they're just silent jurors who have to sit there and take everything in, or if they're allowed to ask questions. I honestly don't even know.
I can't remember either, but as I recall, there was a lot of Lindsey Graham vocalizing, as I remember, so I think there were.
I guess we'll find out soon enough.
We will. I wish I could remember. Anyway, and the last thing she says is Harris remains a strong contender for attorney general. Other people are saying for vice president. You know, it's sort of a given. Everyone's been talking about that. I don't know if this is a given or not, but they're saying it's a given that Biden would choose her as vice president running mate. So who knows? But I was just surprised. Anyway. Here's what happened today.
Yeah.
This is from Jonathan Horn, who is with ABC. He said, Hunter pleads guilty. This is Duncan Hunter.
Yep.
Pleads guilty
oh my God.
Now
right.
to one count of conspiracy and faces 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
Ooh-ooh.
Sentencing will be mid-March.
Uh-oh. And poor
Uh-oh.
Duncan Hunter is now going to have to, you know, resign from Congress.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Mommy.
Yeah.
I dropped him.
On his head.
Uh-oh. He made a boo-boo.
Dan Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Pod Save America. He's commenting on this from Cameron Joseph, who is with Vice News. Joseph reports that Senator Burr just said that there's no difference between what Russia and Ukraine did in 2016, in spite of the report that the Senate Intelligence Committee didn't find that Ukraine meddled in an organized way in 2016 in
oh,
his own
God,
investigation.
Help us
no.
all.
Okay, and Dan Pfeiffer says the Senate Intelligence Committee chair now refuses to believe his own report in order to suck up to Trump. The Republican Party is so dangerously broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then Karen Schwartz, who is a contributing editor to Marie Claire, says There needs to be less reporting of Mr. Burr's statements and more inquiry into why he's making them.
Uh-huh. Well, exactly. I mean, look, Richard Burr is the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And
yes.
and he and his counterpart is on the Democratic side.
Nadler.
He's the House. He's the House Judiciary. Senate Intelligence Ranking Member. The House. The Senate Intelligence Committee Ranking Member who works with what's his name on it's in the Senate. I'm drawing a blank now. Hold on. Now it's going to bug me until I can figure this out. So it's the Senate Intelligence Committee Ranking Member. I'm going to kick myself. Ranking Member is Mark Warner. Okay. So Richard Burr and Mark Warner seemed to have a good thing going when they were working on, the Mueller report, Mueller stuff. Burr and the Senate Intelligence Committee just issued their report on the findings into the origins of the Russia investigation, basically finding that, the FBI didn't do anything wrong. They just issued a report. Burr was reasonable,
but didn't he leak something back to Trump?
Hold on. My
there was an
video
incident.
Stream just went out.
I specifically remember I was like, oh, okay, he's reasonable. And then wah, 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 he went back and told Trump something he shouldn't have. He was leaking information that they got, I can't remember. Something bad.
Yep. Hold on. My YouTube just crapped out on me.
It's
the new computer is coming on Friday. That's all I can say. So I apologize.
Yeah, YouTube is spinning.
My whole YouTube interface just froze. No, just refresh won't work because it's not working on my end. For now, we just hope this comes back. Damn it.
Here, GOP Senator Richard Burr apparently briefed White House on FBI's Russia probe, Mueller report says. Wait, I just got a paywall.
Okay. Oh, it looks like, YouTube is going to come back now. Give it a minute. It'll be back in a second.
Let me go back to, let's see. I may have briefed White House on FBI probe. Where are we?
I don't know. Where
North
are
Carolina
we?
North Carolina chairman appears to have briefed the White House as to the targets of an FBI probe. So he went back and he gave him information he shouldn't have.
Okay. Well, I don't doubt that. But for the most part, as compared to the rest of the Republican caucus in both chambers of Congress, he was the most heinous. he was the least offensive actor on the Republican side, and now he's just playing their game, which is unbelievable.
They all are. It's awful. It's un-American. It's disgusting. It's going to ruin the country. It's ruining the world. Everything they're doing is Trumpy.
Yeah, it's very Trumpy.
And speaking of Trumpy, his pressers today. Here's what Rick Wilson said. This presser is really something. And by something, I mean bug crazy.
There's that. Yeah, so I didn't watch it this morning. I saw your comment after he finished the 53-minute rambling thing that he did along with the Secretary General of NATO. So what was he going off about?
Okay,
anything?
I'll give you a couple of things that I have. Daniel Dale, first of all, here's a fact check. Since Trump repeatedly called NATO members delinquent this morning, that's one thing he went off on. Mm-hmm. A reminder, each country spends 2% of GDP on defense policy is a mutual commitment, but not a binding obligation. Nobody literally owes NATO or any member country any money for being below 2% in the past years. And Trump acts like they owe it to him.
I know. He acts like the money all goes into this giant pool that that they share that covers that's not how it works. He has no clue about how things work. He makes it up as he goes along, and everyone looks at him and rolls their eyes. I wasn't listening. The sound was off when he was doing I guess, the Q&A with a press, I hate to call it a press conference, with Macron of France.
Yeah.
And Trump had this body language. He was hunched over. His arms were crossed. He was facing away from Macron. He was pouting. He was, you know, he looked like a petulant child, which is what he is. It was unfucking believable.
Well, I didn't watch it. I was listening while I was, you know, trying to blow my hair dry and all the rest of the stuff you have to do. So I didn't see anything. He said, I heard some of the things. One of the things he said, I said, and this is one of the tweets you might have seen, Trump won't commit to defending other NATO countries if they don't pay enough, in quotes, don't pay enough. And then MSNBC reporter guy said, that essentially kills NATO as we know it. So I thought I hadn't heard correctly. Apparently I had heard correctly, and I'm really upset that I have to say that. Then he went on, projecting, I might add, calling Schiff deranged and sick, and Pelosi calling her deranged and a liar. And this is right after Pelosi yesterday refused to badmouth him overseas. He did it while he was overseas.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly. You know, there used to be a saying, politics ends at the water's edge. You didn't go overseas and badmouth any other Americans, despite what political party they were in. You just don't do it. And that's why they went so ballistic on the Dixie Chicks, who were on a world tour somewhere. I want to say England, but it could have been somewhere else. When they all I think Natalie Maines said, I'm so embarrassed George W. Bush is from Texas.
Right.
That's all she said. And they had burnings. They got banned from radio stations because they dared to go overseas and criticize our president. Look what this piece of shit is doing. Overseas, he calls Adam Schiff. He calls them names.
He's deranged, sick.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. I mean, it was horrible. It was so vicious and so infantile.
Disgusting.
And he's doing this in front of the world, in front of, oh, God. Then he says, my tweet is, Trump's talking about illegally, quote, taking the oil. And he said we should have taken more in other locations.
Right. And look, he pulls our troops out of the part of Syria where they're working with the Kurds and protecting the Kurds. He lets Turkey invade, says he's pulling our troops out because he wants to bring them home because he needs to end these endless wars. Then he turns around. He doesn't actually bring those troops home. He sends them back into Syria to protect the oil fields. Fuck the Kurds. Let them be slaughtered. Let them be, you know, genocided out of existence, but protect the oil fields.
Exactly. It's just sickening. Speaking of sickening, the White House, this is Jennifer Bendry yesterday, the White House just sent 7 more judicial nominees to the Senate for confirmation, and they are all lifetime appointments. She says all district court nominees, all lifetime appointments, now that each one only gets 2 hours of debate time versus 30 hours, thanks to McConnell's rule change.
Exactly.
This shouldn't take too long. And then Hunter DK over at Coast says, anyone still hoping Mitch McConnell might take Trump's genuine crime seriously needs to realize that the White House and Mitch here have devoted the last 3 years to stuffing the courts with party ideologues who won't take any Republican crimes seriously.
Yeah.
This is why I don't sleep at night.
Yeah. No, I hear
you. This is the main reason I worry, because of the courts. Yep. There are a lot of things that it takes time, but you can undo some damage. The courts are generational, and don't even start me on climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Judd Apatow said, he's commenting over, wait, what's this? This is from the Washington Post. Trump's personal attorneys remain largely on the sidelines as the president contends with the impeachment inquiry. Okay. Mm-hmm. So apparently Nikki Haley said God is using Trump's presidency to bring lessons and change, right?
Oh, my God.
I want to throw up. So Judd Apatow says, is God also letting the world boil and allowing all the kids to die in school shootings and allowing the slaughter in Yemen, and is cool with Jeffrey Epstein's work and making sure all of Trump's sexual harassment and assault accusers are ignored and, but loves Trump? Thank you, Judd.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, you know, their God loves Trump. But their God is also letting everything else die. So fuck them all. Okay, so this is really upsetting to me, and it just didn't get any real, except on Twitter maybe, it didn't get any attention. Sperm whale. This is from the New York Daily News. Sperm whale had 220 pounds of trash inside it when it washed up on shore.
I saw that, and that's horrible.
So disturbing. Nets, ropes, plastic cups, and bags were among the items found inside the massive marine mammal after it died. I mean, this is just a huge ball in the animal's stomach. First of all, imagine the torture that these whales are undergoing. I mean, this is just horrible. Not okay. Then we have to get into, of course, the environment. I mean, it's all intertwined, of course, but these animals are dying. Animals are getting burned. Wildlife is getting burned. Their homes are gone. The species are virtually gone. Koala bears were called virtually extinct now. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was one report because of the fires in Australia. And this now we're seeing garbage found in balls inside
it's sitting,
of whales.
It's just sickening. I saw the picture and I read the caption and it's horrible. It's just
horrible.
We're killing the planet.
Sick.
Yeah.
Last night I was watching, what show was this? This is at 7:22. Who would be on? This was from Lawrence O'Donnell's show. And he was interviewing Simon Schuster, who did a really good report. He did an interview with Zelensky, the Ukrainian president. And here are a couple of quotes from this that makes me so heartbroken and so disturbed, because Trump screwed over Zelensky big time. And this is what Zelensky said. When America says, for instance, that Ukraine is a corrupt country, that is the hardest of signals. It might seem like an easy thing to say, that combination of words, quote, Ukraine is a corrupt country, just to say it and that's it. But it doesn't end there. Everyone hears that signal. Investments, banks, stakeholders, companies, American, European companies that have international capital in Ukraine. It's a signal to them that says, be careful, don't invest, or get out of there. This is a hard signal. That's what the Ukrainian president said, and that's what Trump has done to his his ally.
No, I hear you.
It makes me sick.
You know, and for them to keep saying, well, President Zelensky said that there was no pressure. What's he going to say? That he's going to contradict the president of the United States on whom he's depending for aid? He's not going to contradict him in any way, shape, or form, especially in public. So that's everything they say. It's like, well, you know, I said, I want nothing. I want nothing. Here, I have it written in Sharpie. That proves it. It proves nothing except that you're a fucking moron. God.
Yes.
Damn.
Oh, finally, I'm going to read a couple of quotes about Lisa Page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kyle Griffin, MSNBC producer, said, as Trump attacks Lisa Page, a reminder of what she said about those attacks. Quote, it's like being punched in the gut. My heart drops to my stomach when I realize he has tweeted about me again.
Uh-huh.
The president is calling me names to the entire world. He's demeaning me and my career. So Schooley says, hard to believe he's losing support among women. And then Larry Bellinger, a follower, said, I would call you a dick, but you're just a schmeckle who thinks he's a schlong.
Okay.
And that's all my tweets of the day. I got them all in.
Cool. Well, that sounds good. So, and we're coming to the end of the show, so the timing is perfect. We should mention that another federal judge today ruled against Trump yet again. This time against, he was saying that he was appealing the ruling on Deutsche Bank and the accounting firm that he's been told you have to turn over your financial records. He appealed. The judge said, sorry, no stay. You need to turn that over. So the next question is, do they take it to the Supreme Court? Because that's the next stop.
You know they will.
Oh, of course. And the Supreme Court is going to have to hurry up and figure if they're going to do this, just like they need to decide whether or not they're going to take up the other case that was escalated last week that had to do with, I believe McGahn testifying, right?
McGahn, yeah.
So
it was.
It's all coming to a head, we hope.
I hope quickly.
I hope too. I don't know what else. Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was really nice. It was, we went over, it was kind of bittersweet. We went over to the senior facility where my in-laws are. Aww. They're both in their 90s. Uh-huh. It was my mother-in-law's 92nd birthday, and she blew out candles with some help.
Wow.
She didn't know what to do because she's got Alzheimer's. And then she figured it out, and everybody had a good time. But it was, you know, it was hard.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, families are, it's tough, especially around the holidays. All right. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and here every Tuesday.
Yep.
Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you so much.
I'll talk to you later. Bye. And you, well, once again, thank you. I'll throw it out there one more time. Today is Giving Tuesday. So if you have it, the extra couple of bucks hanging around and want to contribute to the furtherance of this program, NicoleSandler.com and click on the donate button. Thanks, everybody. We'll do it again tomorrow. We got another hearing coming up. Get the popcorn ready. Bye.